Hello friends and welcome to Fey Earth, a magical world set in an alternate 19th century Earth, where every creature from folklore and fairy tale is real, have always been real, and lived alongside humanity. Join our adventurers as they explore a world of arcane mysteries and danger, where the new scientific and industrial age collides with an ancient world of fairy and magic.
My name is Neil. I am the designer and creator of... Oh, hi Megan! The designer and the creator of Fey Earth, a indie TTRPG set in an alternate 19th century Earth, where all the creatures from folklore and fairy tale are real, have always been real, and live openly alongside humanity. Our game is set in the year 1872. It's in an alternate timeline, approximately, I can't remember, 6-9 months after the Franco-Prussian War. However, in this world, the Franco-Prussian War, instead of being a war between the fourth Roman French Empire of Napoleon II, I can't remember, and Otto von Bismarck's Prussia, it was an alliance in which France and Prussia came together to attack the Fey nation of Arcadia. The king of that nation, the Elven king, who had been ruling that land for hundreds and hundreds of years and was the most powerful ruler in Europe, had finally died of natural causes, and Bismarck, thinking they're vulnerable, we have a chance, convince the French emperor, let us attack. There was a devastating war in which at first the Fey were taking injuries because they had never before faced humans with modern firearms and artillery that the French and the Prussians had. But then on the final day of the battle, they unleashed a devastating attack. Some said it was using ancient Fey magics, others said that they awoken the ancient dragons. We are 6 or so months on from that. We are in central France in the fictional town of Cheville, where our party of players have been acting as intermediaries between humans and Fey. A elven noblewoman in a nearby forest has been using her magic to draw more Fey into the area, and this has been creating conflict. But before we continue with our story, I would ask one of our players to give us a recap of our last session.
Oh, I'll do it. Fuck it. Okay, so we went... No, okay, so we went... Okay, so Mina, Sylvia, Aminata, and... We're coming back from the Castilians. We met Gwyn, gave her the letter. Sylvia also wanted to go to the mayor to get more supplies for the workshop she wanted to run, and then also talk to Marie. While she was doing that, Mina went to go and visit Dubois with the intention of doing some sparring with him, and he looked like absolute hell. His wound was infected. Mina basically said, well, you look like you're sparring with death, so I'll leave you to it. Got Madame Choisy to take a look at him. She gave him a poultice and told him to rest. And then Sylvia also told the mayor, Sauvet, that Dubois had been bitten, so he has gone off to discreetly order some silver bullets for the rifles for the gendarmes. In the meantime, Sylvia has assured him she's going to try and learn the spell. What else? That night, if I'm leaving anything out, people let me know. That night, Dubois came in. He was basically grand. No, I think it was the next day. Yeah, Dubois came in. He was grand, jumping on the tables, singing all of this. Sylvia ran her workshop on seeing that Sylvia wasn't going to try anything with Marie. Gwyn jumped straight in there, made her a rose using the illusions. Marie translated the spell some more, and then Gwyn invited her for a drink. And then there was some stranger who came in wearing super high quality clothes, looking for a room, but was happy to sleep in the stables. Then the next day, three figures appeared. They looked elvish with scales. Two men and one woman. The woman said, I know it was someone here. Somebody has taken something which is ours. my guess is on the farmer who showed up the night before looking super rich, buying loads of drinks. And two of the men shapeshifted into some sort of dragon creatures that were 4 meters long and have two legs and wings and big gnar fangs and stuff. So, fun times.
Okay, Sylvia, you have 1d8 inspiration die that you can use for any one ability role at any stage in the game. And right now, Sylvia, can you please give me a resolve roll? Resolve willpower.
Okay, I'll have willpower. That's something. Okay.
I can Neil, what day is it? Is it the 26th? 27th?
It's Wednesday the 28th.
28th, okay.
And you said also picked up your student's armor.
Yeah. But,
I got a 6.
Oh,
six,
no.
6 total.
2.
You rolled a 2. Wow. That's terrifying.
Do you want to use your inspiration die?
Oh, so that'll bring me up to like 14. Like, will that? No, because no.
Eat your call.
No, because like it's 14 is like that's my best case scenario.
So no, you're not.
No, I'm like okay.
Don't waste it. Like
this, I'm not. No, because they're a dragon.
No, there's no point. Like then don't waste it.
So folks, this is what happens.
Oh no.
Okay. The two male fae changing their form into these long serpentine dragon-like creatures. No legs, no arms, just two wings from their backs, about 4.5 meters long, kind of hovering in the air. Sylvia, seeing this, seeing in front of you these creatures, these terrifying creatures, dragons, your vision goes black and you find yourself yet again in that most terrible moment of your life. Describe what you see.
Oh no. Okay, so there's smoke everywhere. And like it looks like a really, really heavy mist. It's from artillery fire. And the terrain is like it's a mess because like there are craters, there are bits of obsidian and glass sticking out of the ground, and there's just a set of glowing red eyes that appear like, and they're like several meters up, like really high up. And then she feels something slamming into her back and slamming her into the ground. And then hears a voice just saying, "Stay down, I'll keep you safe." And that scene is just replaying over and over and over and over, just getting slammed to the ground every time. And she can hear that voice just repeating, whispering into her ear each time.
So.
To what other people see, I suppose Sylvia starts sweating a lot.
What the rest of the party sees is Sylvia is standing there, completely blank face.
Her eyes are glassy.
Yes. The rest of the town square, the villagers, seeing these fae creatures appear out of nowhere and turning into the dragons, there are screams of terror as people start to scatter. Running away, what is the rest of the party doing?
I immediately reach out and just grab Sylvia's arm and turn to look at her. When I see her glassy expression, I kind of hold her tighter and say, "Sylvia, are you okay? We need to go."
When you do that, Sylvia immediately kind of blinks, like as if she's sort of, you know, kind of doesn't know where she is for a second, but she very much flinches away from you. Like she nearly doesn't know who you are, and casts spark skin reflectively, but she's still just kind of standing there.
Are you okay? Is everything okay?
I think we maybe need to go, and Gwyn will try and get her arm around you and pull you away in the opposite direction from the dragons where everybody else is going.
Yeah, when you I do help that, you.
When you do that, Silver flinches away from you and starts walking really quickly.
So as you pull away, the female, Faye, her form also changes, shifting into that of a dragon. Whereas the men were between 4 to 4.5 meters long, serpentine, dragon-like forms. Hers is more like 4.5 to 5. And then the three of them taking off into the air, flying off roughly in the direction of the river itself.
I look at Gwyn like, is she okay? What's going on?
I don't know. I've never seen her like this.
I know, right?
Were they dragons? Real? Is that...
What? Do they shapeshift? Is that a thing? Would I know that? No.
Give me a failure roll. Anybody who wants to can give me failure rolls. Okay. Well, okay. Scratch that. Sylvia, you cannot give me a failure roll.
Oh, okay.
You are not shooting right fair. Now. You are letting yourself be led, but you are not... With that shockingly terrible resolve roll, you do not have your wits about you, okay?
I rolled a 19. 16. And I have a +2.
You
would
know.
21. I maybe do know.
21
was actually the target number. This is a high target number for you, Gwyn. Less so for Mina and Sylvie if she had been rolling, because this is a uniquely French creature.
Mm-hmm.
So being Cornish, not as likely that you would have heard of this. To be honest, you're not entirely sure what this is. There are some examples of... So there are some examples of fae that can shapeshift, the aquatic fae that can shapeshift. Like, there are some stories that describe harpies as having slightly kind of more scale-like and reptilian features. And in some stories, they're described as more dragon-like. So you're like, okay, maybe these could be harpies. There is also another type of fae creature, French fae creature, called a drac. And they're kind of funny in that their stories of them vary. In some stories, they're described as being these beautiful men or women, like from the shoulders up, and then from the shoulders down, they have these long serpentine bodies. In other stories, they are described as just being breathtakingly beautiful humans. And then in other stories, they're described as being dragons. Dragons that live in the water. Drac, they're a type of merfae, they live in water. And they are known for having great hoards of treasures. And there are stories of drac letting their gold and treasures float to the surface of rivers. And then when a human goes to take it, they grab them and pull them down and keep them as servants and maids and butlers for periods of years before they'd eventually release them and let them go back to their homes. So you're okay. Like, maybe it's some sort of harpy. I don't know. Or maybe it's this drac, this other uniquely French type of merfae, waterfae.
Okay, I will relay that to Mina, I guess. As we're briskly walking away, is Sylvia still with us? Because she started to walk.
Do you run ahead? Sylvia's... Which direction did you go?
Yeah.
No, I thought I walked like with you, I'm trying to keep a distance away from you.
She's very much kind of working on autopilot right now. She is responding to stuff you're saying, sort of, but in a very automated kind of way, if that makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. So remember, Mina, when she told us when we were having dinner with the Lady of the Forest that there were dragons on the battlefield, which I'm still very skeptical about. Could have been some sort of I don't know, artificer trick or who even knows, but maybe she got a shock when she saw these things that are probably the closest looking things to dragons she's seen since she's been in the battle.
Yeah, wow. That is amazing. I never... Well, do you think they're looking for gold? Could it be... They're not looking for a baby or something. I think they're looking... Are they looking for gold?
I think they said treasure. Yeah, I think they said the treasure's gone missing.
So your man from last night that kept on buying drinks I think we have to go and ask about him. But
Of course.
Let's go to Dean first, and I lean into Gwyn and I kind of whisper, "Let's go get her a drink or something."
I don't know if there's a strong enough whiskey in the world, but we will try.
Yeah. So we're just kind of, you know, go to the direction of Dean and see if you're kind of with us.
What's Sylvia doing?
She's following you as you lead her, as I said. Like she's like walking alongside you, but not letting any of you get close enough to touch her.
If anybody has managed to take grab a hold of her, like she is trembling, like.
You're still in bark skin, look.
That still wears off after, I think, about, is it 10 minutes or something?
I
think it's 10 minutes.
Sorry. Yes. I've only ever cast it in a battle situation, so I don't.
Was that of any physical tells?
Her skin.
Yeah, it looks like a tree.
Okay, yeah.
The skin takes on a wooden bark-like texture. For the duration of
so it's like Peeta in the Hunger Games.
Okay.
Exactly. And he's like a tree, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, bless. Okay, so Sylvia is completely just freaking out.
Oh, yeah. Now, you have seen her cast this spell before.
Oh, yeah. That's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
It is something you've seen her do. She usually casts on Yastine.
Yeah, I don't know. We have seen you do that. That's nothing, you know. I'm just slightly surprised on when you...
1 minute. Oh, sorry, I just checked the spell description. It's not
1 minute. Okay, so it's worn off by now.
Within 60 seconds of leaving the town square, it is worn off. I would say by the time you've gotten to the inn, because the inn's quite close to the town square, it's worn off.
Okay.
So I find a nice corner, and I'm just like, why don't you, and I'm trying to kind of guide you without kind of touching you with, and kind of touch you without, do you know what I mean? So I'm like awkward because I don't know what to do. So I kind of want to, but I also don't. And yeah, being really kind of awkward about it. And I'm like, why don't you just sit? Why don't you sit down? I'll get you something. Okay. Just sit down. And, I'm going to the bar and I'm like, hello.
Jean,
could we have a strong wine?
What just happened? I heard people screaming and shouting, saying there was dragons in the chat. What happened?
Oh, that is really weird. There were like, was it three people, two guys and one woman?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I tell them quickly what happened. I was like, two guys, one woman, and they were saying about something has been stolen, and they were really gorgeous, but they had these really kind of weird scales, and then they shapeshifted, and they looked like kind of dragons, kind of mini dragons, you know, like 6-4 meters, I think. It's really weird, like, you know. Also, they didn't have any legs. They were just kind of flying, kind of. Did they have wings?
Yes, they had wings.
Okay, so there were big snakes, okay, with wings, but no legs.
So there were dragons in the town square.
Well, I don't know. Are they real? Are they dragons? Can they shapeshift? I'm not sure. I really don't know what they were.
You're the expert on the Fae, not me. I'm a simple innkeeper.
Well, I don't know. You haven't heard any local stories? Because, like, the giant weird snail, I've never heard about that earlier. Like, do you know?
Well, they're a French thing. You wouldn't get them in Switzerland.
French thing, I love it. Could we get some really strong wine?
He looks and he says, he sees Sylvia kind of sitting in the corner, standing very upright, staring off into space. He's like, is she okay? Was she injured?
No. I think she might have remembered something from the war. The coin, the phrase shell shock hasn't been coined yet.
That was World War One. Yeah.
So I'm just like, I think she just remembered. I think she just kind of got a bit of a shock from her memories.
I understand there's a few men here in the town who fought in the war, and when they came back, they've never been the same. Like they tend to stay at home with their families. But I have seen this before. And he goes to the top shelf to like the good whiskey,
the good shit. Yeah, the good shit.
And he pours you it's a generous 3-4 drams,
wow.
Yeah. And so.
Oh, Sean is so kind.
Well, I know. He has. You have to remember.
Well, he's seen shit as well. They're quite close to the border, aren't they?
Well, no, it's not that. They're quite.
No, but they would have had soldiers coming back.
But they would have had soldiers.
There are soldiers who are like Sylvia.
So from all around France, men join the army, including Cherville, including the Auvergne region. So So it's he gives you a glass. There's about 3-4 drams of whiskey in, and he says, "Here, give this to her, okay?"
Thank you so much. And there's an old French, weird French creature that would fit this description, no?
I'm just a simple innkeeper. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine, but thank you for that. And I'll bring it over to her, and I'll be like, "Here, look, get this down into you. That'll do well." And I put it in front of her, and then I think better of it, and I put it into her hand.
And as Mina does, you are getting the scent of the whiskey. You are vaguely aware of it in your hand, Sylvia.
Yeah.
Opening it to you.
Sorry. Yeah, no. The hand is shaking violently, but she's manages to kind of steady it enough. And she's just going to take it really quickly, put it down. And she's going to kind of turn around to Mina. She's just very slowly blinking. We came back to Zian.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
You didn't look fine. You cast bark skin when I touched you.
No, I didn't.
Look, I don't know what happened there.
I'm afraid you did.
But we're safe here, and...
Yeah.
And
well,
you can
now,
stay here until you feel better.
I feel fine.
Okay. No, that's okay.
Okay.
No,
Gwyn kind of side eyes Mina.
I look at Gwyn going like, "What the fuck are we? Mm-hmm, what, are we mm-hmm. what the fuck are we gonna do? Like, what the fuck?" get that down.
Act normal.
Act normal.
I'm gonna use lesser telepathy and just zap into Mina's brain. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to act normal.
As soon as I hear you, I'm like... I'm
also
going to
say, can we say the word D-R-A-G-O-N-S?
Sure. This is literally what Mina does, trying to kind of spell it, because it's not a native language. And then she's like, "Oh, yeah.
No."
And I'm just like... So
the man with the gold was flashing around. Your man who was flashing around his gold last night was odd, wasn't he?
He was a farmer, so farmers are not so wealthy, yeah?
No.
Usually not, no. I'm going to go back to the bar and go like, "Sean, who was this man yesterday who was buying all the drinks?"
Oh, Auguste, yeah. It was kind of kind of surprised, really. Like, he comes in here on occasion, but never seen him spending coin like that before.
So he's not, a well-to-do person, usually, not that you know of.
I mean, he has a farm and he does okay, but he's not especially wealthy, no.
And I look back at them and just kind of go, "What are we thinking? What are we thinking about this?"
Sylvia's breathing is starting to kind of, she's starting to kind of come back a little bit to herself. Because now we're thinking, okay, what are we doing? We're focusing on tasks. Cool. Okay, yeah. let's think of solutions.
Yeah.
I suppose we should go and find out who this man is who was stupid enough to steal from some dragons.
Shall we pay him a visit, yeah? Do you know where his farm is, by any chance?
Of course I do, and he gives you directions. He's like, you know,
fantastic. Funny.
You're the second people today who've asked about this man.
Who asked about this man?
Oh, you know our new guest, the gentleman who's staying in the stables? He asked only... He actually only had left a few minutes, like a minute or two before you walked in.
Then we should go, I think.
Maybe we're all going in the same direction. Sylvia, yeah. Are you sure you want to come?
I'm fine. I'm sorry that if I held you up because we have been here longer than usual.
No. Everything is perfectly fine. Come on, get them down
into
you,
and
we go. I make sure you don't waste the drink and...
She downed all that whiskey in one go, and she is fine.
Good and I just, ooh. Like, I assume Sylvia storms off, and I just kind of, again, look at Gwyn, kind of like, what the fuck?
We just share a glance and walk off behind her.
We walk out, like,
you lead the way, Mina, because you're the one given the directions by Jean.
Yeah.
So Sylvia storms out and very quickly realizes, oh shit, I actually don't know
where the fuck am I going?
Yeah. Well, she's going to stand
Mordor,
there. Mordor,
where is it, left or right?
She's going to just be standing there like, okay, let's go.
So, it's about a 35-minute walk from the center of the town to the...
Are we trying to kind of catch up with your man? Are we trying to
march
fast?
I'd say we're like walking quickly.
Do we manage to catch up with your man?
No, you don't appear to.
He would have had a few minutes on us.
So you do get to the farmhouse. You find it and you recognize the description that Jean gave. And you get to it, and as you get up to the front door to knock, you can hear the sound of voices inside, and the sound of a woman saying, "I do not know what you're talking about, Monsieur. What treasure? I'm a simple farmer."
Oh, okay. There's someone in there. Do we want to hang out here and eavesdrop, or do we want to go in?
Let's eavesdrop a little more.
And you hear another voice.
And I just quickly go, like, please forgive me.
So, you hear there is another voice saying, "Monsieur, I do not care. Three fae creatures appeared in the town square. They turn into dragons. Do you know what that means? They were able to sense that their treasure is in this town. Do you not think that they will track the scent of their golds closer to where it is being hidden right now? And what do you think will happen to the person that they find with their treasure?" And the other guy is like, "No, I do not know what you're talking about. I'm a simple farmer. I do not have any extra treasure. I do not have any gold on me. I do not have... And he says, wait, sir, please, you don't need to... You don't need to be... No, sir, no, you don't need to..."
Oh, okay.
Okay, not this stage...
Yeah.
Mina's gonna break open the door. Mina shouldering the door.
So Mina, as you shoulder the door, you see these two men. You recognize them both. One is the farmer who was in last night, flashing coin in the inn, and the other is that new guy who's staying in the stables, the quiet stranger who's got this. And you've seen it before. It's a cane. It's more like a cudgel with like silver rune on it. As he strikes down, it doesn't aim for the guy. He actually kind of comes straight down on the small table that's in front of him. And when he hits it, it cracks. Like there's a solid crack off of it. And it's a big split going down the center. It doesn't like break apart into smithereens or anything like that, but he's just cracked the table with a single strike.
Sylvia, his ankles.
No, you're like, he's like two, three, you just literally just walk in the door of the room. So you're like...
Sylvia's going to look at the guy, or she's going to look at the table, and she's going to look at the guy, like, whose table it is. Well, surely for a man such as yourself, there's all the coins that you were flashing in the bar last night, replacing that table would be no trouble, yeah?
And the...
Pretty nice table.
The other guy, the coach, just says, "Monsieur... There are now four of us. Where is the treasure? Tell us what the hell just happened."
It was me.
And the guy is like, and he sees you all coming in, He says, "Oh, you're the women who've been fighting
Yes.
Well, just one ogre.
The ogre, the
Lukako,
the direwolves, werewolves. So Lugaronia. You are nothing to us.
I think we could. Yeah. I would agree with Mila. I think.
It was a couple of nights ago. I was walking home from the inn. I heard some sounds of some music and some laughter. I went to investigate and I saw a small group of fairies. They were dancing and singing their songs, but I do not know why. For whatever reason, I was not being enthralled by their music. And one of them happened to be skipping near me. I don't know why I thought of this. The compulsion came over me. I reached out and I grabbed the creature and I caught it. Pure dumb luck.
Monsieur, are you stupid?
I think we know the answer to that. Please continue.
Mm. Yeah.
I grabbed the creature. He screamed out, told me to leave him alone, told me he would grant me a wish. And I wish for the power to obtain great wealth.
Oh no.
Did you specify how, by any chance?
Well, of course not. He's too stupid for that.
I thought that by asking for the power to obtain wealth instead of asking for wealth, that I would be able to escape any tricks by the fairies.
Any consequences from a clever older creature and you found the felt?
Have you found it floating on the surface of the river or something?
They granted me two gifts. One was the ability to breathe under the water like a fish. And the other was, and he reaches into the pocket of his waistcoat. The other was this, and he holds up a ring. Okay, it's a plain golden band that has a rough, dark set stone in it. And
what does that do?
And you can see he's about to put it on when the other guy who has the club says, "Monsieur, I would not advise you to do that."
I assume that it makes you invisible. You were hoping to make an escape.
Use your words. Use your words instead.
Yes, it grants the wearer an invisibility. They told me of its great treasure.
And what else?
They told me it makes you invisible, and they told me that there's a great treasure hidden in a river. Days travel from here, I went and I swam.
Oh no.
Putting the ring on, I swam into the river.
Oh no.
I was able to find the cave that led into this wondrous. It was almost like an underground palace, and there were these beautiful creatures. With scales and with the ring, I was able to slip past them and grab some of their hoard. I thought I was only taking a small amount. I've never seen so much gold in my life.
Did it occur to you that the treasure, you know, were you never taught by your mother not to take things that do not belong to you? I know why I was
particularly
taught that,
from Faye.
If a fairy grants you a wish, particularly under the circumstances where you capture them, how could you possibly think? But obviously you did not think. You have to return the treasure.
What if you did it? And he hands, he goes,
I think you should do it and you should apologize. And maybe you will not be eaten by the dragons.
But if I do, maybe they'll kill me. But if you arrive,
no, this is your mistake. No. You are going to fix it.
Come on,
we can go and supervise you.
We will make the case that you are very sorry, but there are consequences to this action, and we can only hope that if you admit to the wrongdoing, attempt to address the situation by returning what you stole, you may be granted leniency.
Actually, you are very lucky. They actually asked for the treasure be returned. They could have just burned the village down.
They still might burn the village down.
Also, that ring, I suppose we have to destroy it in Mount Doom, but that's another story.
Quest.
No, sorry.
Is that in Arcadia?
Yes.
I can't. A ring. I mean, come
my
on.
My precious.
That's a very strange sounding name of a mountain that in no way bears any connection or similarities to creatures real or fictional from other pieces of intellectual property.
Please answer us. We're sorry.
Mount Gloom. Yes. Yes. We go to Mount Gloom. Yes.
He goes over to a corner and he lifts up one of the wooden boards and he takes out a sack. Like, it's a fairly big sack. It looks like the kind of thing that you might like a 2 kilo bag of potatoes kind of thing, you know, like a decent size. And he lets it down. It was only a small amount compared to the treasures that I saw in their palace. And he's like, puts it down with a heavy clink and thud.
Stealing is still stealing.
It's the fae. They have so much treasure. I didn't think they would miss it.
It's the fae, so you doubly shouldn't steal. Using my lesser telepathy cantrip, I said to Crusader Quinn, this fucking guy.
You know what? There's a pattern here. It's always fucking guys.
So
no concept of yes or no, no concept or yes or whatever, no concept of
this
consent.
Is not mine. I should not.
No
take
concept,
it.
Like because everything is just they're so entitled. Everything is mine. Everything because the world is built for me. You know me.
Why do you think the war started?
Oh yeah. It's mine.
Some man playing soldiers.
While we're having this tantrum, I'm firmly leading your man out. And come on, let's go on and show us where you got it from.
Well, no, he said it was a day's travel.
That's so awesome. Come on.
We're gonna fucking travel now, aren't we?
Yeah.
So you're going to ask him to bring you to the...
We can come.
Where?
Yep. Okay.
Well, we need to find out where it is. So, yeah, we are going to need to bring him.
Okay.
I'm marching him there.
The fae are in the village. They want...
They flew off in the direction of the river and the forest.
Okay. They've given us a day. So yes. should we maybe hang on to this and then... the town square, then meet them the next day, explain stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Would that be better? I think it
might be I suppose, but I'm not letting this one out of my sight.
No, you are going to convince us and you are going to explain. We will try to make sure that they do not kill you, but you know.
Maybe.
The dragons, so they can do what they want.
Oh, and who the hell are you, by the way? And I'll turn to this new guy.
Oh, you turn to the stranger?
Yeah.
We're just having a rant about
who the fuck is this guy now?
My name is people call me Tito. I am just a traveler passing through. I was in the town square when the dragons revealed themselves and said that a treasure had been stolen, and I was in the inn last night and remembered seeing this fool throwing gold around,
we remember you from the inn last night,
So it did not take a great leap of intellect to connect the two. So
yeah, no, this makes sense.
Yep.
Where are you from, Tito?
I am from everywhere. I am a traveler.
I
live my life on the road.
So wherever you're born.
a tiny little village in the south that you would never have heard of it. And looking at him, so this, now you're getting a slightly better look. As I said, he's not that tall. He's only about 165, maybe 170 centimeters. Curly brown hair and has like...
Oh, it's my height.
A very, very like tanned Mediterranean skin. Looking like somebody from maybe Cannes or Nice or maybe Italian, you know, or possibly Spanish. Like he has that dark Mediterranean look to him, you know, someone from the south of France or from the generically Mediterranean. Okay, with these beautiful, I would say, like deep, almost soulful brown eyes. A good enough looking guy, you know. Like we're not talking stunning heartthrob.
If he was taller, sure, like yeah.
But he's still taller than me now.
Oh yeah, everything is taller than me. But like you know,
welcome to Tendai's world. I say that as somebody who had like two housemates who shall remain nameless that kept putting things up high.
High. It was convenient height. It's not our fault that you're so tiny.
Yes, sensible places to store condiments and food.
I had to climb on the counters like a child.
So this man who's introduced himself as Tito, he turns to you and says, "So, do we want to bring this fool back in to the mayor?" To explain.
I'm sure the gendarmerie has a nice cell for him where he can spend the night.
Because we want to make sure that he comes with us to return the treasure because this is his mistake.
Yep.
Well, that's probably a good idea. When I got here, he was
about to make a runner.
He was putting a bridle and saddle on a horse, yes.
Surprised. He needs to go into a cell that he cannot escape.
Okay, well, after you, mademoiselles.
Have you got addressing the farmer now. Have you got anyone to look after your animals while you're gone?
Well, how long will I be gone for? I'm not going to jail, am I?
That remains to be seen.
Maybe a little while.
You all know that the way human authorities view these matters, they would never arrest a human for stealing from a fey creature. Human fey interactions are kind of...
But we'll talk to the mayor. Don't worry, we'll arrange.
I still want him to sweat a little bit.
Absolutely. I just cocked my head and look at him going like, "So, anyone to tend for your animals, monsieur?"
No, there is not. I do not have any family. My parents.
Is there a neighbor?
We could ask one of the neighbors.
I don't want starving animals on my conscience.
It shouldn't be for too long, but you do have to pay for what you have done.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how much money have you actually, or how much of the treasure have you spent?
Whatever it was, I think it was 10 gold last night.
It could be worse. Yeah, that is a shocking amount on booze, but it still could be worse.
We can probably... I'm going to turn to the rest of the group and just say that we could probably...
Maybe the mayor can't advance it for
the mayor.
Or something. We'll just talk to the mayor. Yeah. Come on. Let's go to your neighbor's farm first, and then we'll go
to a nice cell waiting for you,
I'm sure.
You all exit the house leading this fool in front of you all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you all exit the house leading this fool. The other gentleman, Tito, waiting for you all to leave, politely letting the ladies go first, and then he closes the door after you all, and he's traveling along beside you.
So what do you think of the village?
It's a pleasant, ordinary village, the likes of which you would find in many places in Auvergne, in this region of France.
Are you traveling this anywhere in particular in mind, or are you just passing through?
I just pass through. Wherever.
How do you make a living? Are you just traveling for leisure?
I help out odd jobs here and there. People who need laborers, strong men to help with, you know, on farms or maybe in warehouses or factories or on docks or whatever, wherever I am.
You don't look like the dock hands from back home, that's for sure.
I am good with my hands and I am not afraid of hard work.
That's good, I suppose.
Neil, the question, the question regarding his staff, the runes on it, do they look like, are they kind of sigils or like, I mean, obviously they're not own, but like, I'm still just curious.
Give me, we'll say fail or roll.
Right, and it's inlaid with silver or something, right?
Ooh.
Oh, that was, wait, is that a 13 or an 18? Oh, it's an 18. So, plus intellect and failure, that's a dirty 20.
So, this looks very similar to certain cudgels and canes that you have seen other fae carrying around creature, like where you are from. Certain types of dwarves and maybe a kobolds would occasionally have canes and cudgels that look similar to this with this kind of silver inlay.
Does he look fae touch?
No, this man is definitely human.
Okay, just look at his neck. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to just... It's quite an interesting canes that you have.
Yes, thank you. It has stood me well many times. The road can be dangerous when travelling alone.
Yeah, well, I have seen... I have seen canes like that before, mostly carried by, it was close to Arcadia, you know? And I'm going to give them a look.
Does he pick up the message that he means?
I'm sure he doesn't give a shit, but that's fine.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Sylvia is suspicious. I'm also like
Venus
really
completely oblivious. Everything just kind of that goes completely over her head because she has no interest in any magic or whatever. So she's like, "Yes, yes, the road can be very dangerous. That's why I always have my halberd with me." And do you fight with it, or what do you use it for? That was quite a feat you did with breaking the table like that. That was very interesting. You know, I've been looking for a sparring partner for quite a while, so would be, if you are interested, that would be that would be really good. I've been looking for a sparring partner, but like, you know, in the village there's not that many. There's gendarmes, but I mean, they're not, to be honest, between, you know, us here, they're not that great. I mean, like when we were fighting an ogre, you maybe heard us mentioning that they were just running away. That was like so funny. And then there is this hunter, but he's just like such an, you know, and I'm just like, oh, but like, yeah, if I had somebody to spar, that would be really great. So what say you?
And that is a hard pitch to say no to.
I don't.
You baffled him into saying yes.
I do not like to fight.
Oh no! That's just for defensive measurement, of course.
She just means to train and hone skills. She doesn't want to actually injure you.
I do not know how much use I would be to a clearly skilled warrior in honing their skills.
Oh, that's okay. But, you know, I mean, you look fairly skillful yourself, you know. That blow was very impressive.
It was a trick.
Oh.
Imagine, it's quite a was trick.
A trick? That was quite a table. Trick. That was, yeah. That
yeah,
was
canes, canes that I have seen like this can. Can do this.
Oh, yeah. Magic tricksy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, I guess.
Not quite, but yeah, so something along that vein, yeah.
So he is like, is he like Justine then? I'm just completely ignoring the guy looking at my two friends. So he's like Justine then, something in that direction, or is he more like you?
He's not like me.
I am just a simple traveller.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but like looking at your garb, you make quite a bit of money from traveling.
Simple travelers don't call themselves simple travelers.
I am.
Would anyone ask any questions?
I am the simple daughter of a florist, after all.
Okay.
I'm a simple daughter of a simple farmer.
That is good.
Okay, this is sad.
Do you actually say more than maybe one or two words at a time?
Oh, I'm sorry. When you spend so long traveling on your own, it's almost like you forget to speak at times, if that makes sense. You know, I don't actually spend a lot of time with other people, and so I am somewhat out of practice with, you know, the small talk.
No, I understand.
Have to talk.
No.
I have had to make similar adjustments over time. I understand.
Oh, yeah, that one hardly spoke when I first met her and started traveling with her. Like, it was like talking to wood.
What did you want me to say?
Anything, you know, but it's fine. You completely warmed up.
Oh, yeah, I am a ray of sunshine.
Oh, totally.
Yes. Yes, you are. Pat, pat, pat. Our little ray of sunshine.
So you get back to the town in about 25-30 minutes.
By leeway of a neighbor to take care of your man's animals. I'm not having starved animals on my conscience.
He's going to be locked up for very long, I'm sure.
Important question.
If I can help.
Do you want to go to the gendarmerie or to the mayor's office?
The mayor's office.
Okay, so you head to the mayor's office Yeah, you get there and his secretary is there and she's like, the mayor is he's in an important meeting right now. You can hear Ray's voices.
I think he is going to want to talk to us.
Yep.
Because she knows who you are, you know? And you're hearing shouting and a bunch of voices like saying, you know, we need to call in the army and, you know, those gendarmes are useless against the ogre. And, you know, there's obviously some sort of an argument going on in the mayor's office.
Sylvia's actually going to just up and start.
Yeah,
and
we
knock
just
on the
yeah
door.
Yeah. Let's say we just walk.
He's just gonna knock on the door, like so, really loud.
Secretary, you know, knock
Sylvia
on the door. Open the door. Hello.
As Mina opens the door, then yes, and all of you see, there's like.
Well, I was going to be polite, but
like
okay.
Four or five men.
They're obviously arguing about the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them you do recognize. You've met like once before. Who was like. Monsieur Millet, the owner of the brass mill.
Oh, yes.
And a couple of other, like, very, very fancy looking guys. And they all, and the mayor, and they're all, the mayor's standing up out of his chair behind his desk.
And they're going.
And they all stop and turn when you walk in. And it's like, when the mayor sees you, oh, mon Dieu, look, messieurs,
I shoved the farmer. I don't even let him talk. I shoved the farmer forward. There you go. And say like, oh, this is the person responsible for the treasure.
We also have the treasure with us.
Well, what's left of it.
But we can spare it. It'll be fine.
And the mayor, seeing the farmer, is like, monsieur, what is this? What are they talking about? And the guy is just like, I'm really sorry, and as he's like gesturing the guy you've been trying with, this guy Tito, he flicks out his wrist and his cane snaps the farmer's hands and you see the gold band drop to the floor.
He was gonna put on the ring.
He's taking it off him.
Okay, I'm gonna dive and grab it. I'm gonna dive and grab it.
He's hadn't taken it off.
I didn't want to touch anything.
And Tito,
don't tempt me, Frodo.
He's looking at the farm. He's like, And the mayor looks at Gwyn and the ring, kind of confused, and looks at this other guy. He's like, I'm sorry, Michelle, I do not know you, but And Tito takes
just drop the sack and show them the sack here. And I pull the sack out, open it, careful not to touch any of the gold.
As there's like the glint of gold from his eye, and they're like, where did you get this? And he, like, over the next 5 minutes, he explains what happened, how he'd captured a fairy, they'd granted him a wish, he'd gone to, he'd traveled like about 60, 70 kilometers away to this other area.
While he's doing that, Neil, while he's doing that, Neil, while I step forward and you know, mean, get the treasure, can I just kind of surreptitiously stand on top of the ring?
No, good.
The ring.
I already died.
Oh, you have it already. Oh, sir. Thank God.
I want
it's gonna be. That's going to be useful, though.
Yes, because it's your birthday, isn't it?
Wow. It's my birthday, precious.
Yes.
Wow. Is it your birthday, Glenn?
There is
no,
there, I mean, it was,
it's the Lord of the Rings reference, Susie.
Oh, sorry.
Nerd.
Anyway,
please don't sue us.
Being nerdy.
So he's explained all this. He's explained to the mayor that
this ring doesn't belong to the treasure. We don't have to give it back.
He's explained to the mayor there's 10 gold missing. He immediately, he's like swearing as he reaches into a drawer, pulls out a small case, and he like puts 10 gold into the bag. And he's like looking at us. He's like, you must
let them work it off or something.
You now owe the town 10 gold plus interest. And we thanking the Virgin Mother that I do not seize your farm right.
Gwyn just kind of retched a bit, sorry. No particular reason.
This is Uber.
Then what came over me there?
While he says it, like, you know, Mina automatically does, like, you know.
This is not my
Uber Catholic, you know, so yeah. Okay, right.
I suggest he'll explain himself tomorrow, so maybe a nice salve in the Gendarmerie will do him well.
Oh, that is a wonderful idea.
We should make sure that he doesn't try to run away again.
Yeah, because he was trying to run away, apparently.
I would ask, would you ladies be so kind as to be with him when he gives the treasure back to the Fae?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. And all the men are now... You can see there was a lot of aggression. There was a lot of tension in the room. It's completely deflated. As the mayor turns, he says, you see, messieurs, this is why we have been paying for the room and board that some of you are complaining about of these incredible women. If it were not for
very grateful for that, by the way. Thank you.
And mademoiselle, she has been teaching some of the locals about creating charms to protect their homes from the Fae. So I think we can all agree... that the town knows, the town officials know what we're doing to keep people safe. And there are...
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
but may I suggest to train your gendarmes maybe a little bit better? That's all I'm suggesting, you know.
Mina, they were scared of the ogre.
It was an ogre, okay? They are very well trained to deal with mundane matters.
Yes, but like, you know, there's more and more Fae coming. Look at me, look how small I am, right? I was right in the ogre's face.
You are a Swiss car. You are from a...
Yes, and I'm trained. And anyone else can be trained as well.
You are from... You are from an elite group of warriors that for centuries have protected not just the people of Europe from the Fae, but this whole...
And I'm just standing there going like, yeah, come on, a bit more. Oh, yes.
Champions of the Lord are gone. Ooh,
keep going. Yeah, lovely.
Of the Bishop of Rome.
Mina's just standing there like, oh, are you finished? Oh, okay. Yeah, and that may be so, but like, you know, those skills are not magic. They're just training.
And he calls out to his secretary and says, get some gendarmes here.
Mina just feels, this was amazing.
very quickly, about a minute or so after he shouted out, two gendarmes, so they enter the farmer, Monsieur Boisseau, he's escorted out. The mayor says, this will be kept in my safe until tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and yes. So, d'accord. And the men all thank you, they bid you adieu. The farmer is marched off. And you now have...
I nearly feel sorry for the stupid guy.
Yeah, well, he's an idiot.
I don't feel fucking sorry for him at all. So, absolute fucking gobshite that he was.
Oh, yeah, of course he was a gobshite.
I have a very, very important and serious question, Gwyn. As you were traveling back, I'm assuming, to the inn...
Yes, I put on the ring. Okay. Of course I put on the ring.
All right, so...
Do I start to get glimpses of a big eye in the sky?
No, so this is what happens.
Okay.
As you are traveling back...
You get stabbed by the Nazgul.
I see you. There is no life in the void, only death.
As the party is traveling back to the inn, all of a sudden, Gwyn disappears. She is beside you one moment, and then the next she is gone. And that is a perfect place to take a pause in our story.
Mina literally jumps.
Ooh, thank you, the chaos Gwyn could perpetrate this.
Love
dangerous.
It. I need to see.
The stolen treasure recovered and ready to be returned to these strange and powerful shape-shifting fae. Hopefully this will be enough to appease them. We'll find out next time. If you enjoyed this adventure and like to know more about the world of Feyre, both the system and the setting, be sure to check out our itch.io page, fey-earth.itch.io. You'll find a bunch of really great products by us. All pay what you want, free to download. We have our lore primer, telling you a bit more about the world and the setting. We have our early release core rulebook, The Explorer's Guide to Feyre, a comprehensive 250-page core rulebook with everything you need to be able to play a fully in-depth campaign up to level 10. We also have a bunch of free one-shots that you can play with pre-generated characters and quick play guides, so you don't need to read the core rulebook, and our starter adventure Trouble in the North, which also comes with pre-gen characters and quick play guide. So you can immediately play that, a fun adventure set in Yorkshire in the north of England for a party of players for levels 1 to 5. Also, if you'd like to support us in other ways, we have our Patreon, where we have two tiers. Each month at the $3 tier, you get fun stat blocks for creatures that aren't in our core rulebook, as well as fun additional magical items that you can add to your game. And at the $5 tier, there is also access to our monthly fireside chat interviews, where we talk to our players about the game. Patrons can post questions to the players about the characters, getting more insights into our players, into our characters, into their motivations and their secrets.